Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and ask, O Lord, that You would feed and nourish our souls with Your most precious Word in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may You edify us and make us more like our Lord Jesus to the glory of Your name. In His name we pray. Amen. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you have a Bible from the back, that's found on page 1767. 1767. Looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll also be looking at Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 21. Which is found on 880, page 880 of the back of your Trinity Psalter hymnal. Looking at God's Word from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Hear now the Word of our God. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. For as the body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And on our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Looking at Lord's Day 21 of the Heidelberg Catechism, found on page 880, we're still going through the Apostles' Creed, looking at the particular phrases in the Apostles' Creed. And so you'll notice, starting at question answer 54, deals with those phrases following our confession of the Holy Spirit. So question answer 54 asks, what do you believe concerning the Holy Catholic Church? Answer, I believe that the Son of God, through His Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for Himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community, I am and always will be a living member. Question answer 55 asks, what do you understand by the communion of saints? Answer, first, that believers, one and all, as members of Christ the Lord, have communion with Him and share in all His treasures and gifts. Second, that each member should consider it a duty to use these gifts readily and joyfully for the service and enrichment of the other members. Question answer 56 asks, what do you believe concerning the forgiveness of sins? Answer, I believe that God, because of Christ's satisfaction, will no longer remember any of my sins or my sinful nature, which I need to struggle against all my life. Rather, by His grace, God grants me the righteousness of Christ, that I may never come into judgment. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we continue looking at a similar or very much the same doctrine that we consider in Lord's Day 20. The Holy Spirit's primary work is uniting us to Christ. We maybe sometimes think regeneration is His primary work, but regeneration is what the Holy Spirit does as He unites us to Christ and to His resurrection life. So regeneration is one of the many works that the Holy Spirit does to us and for us under that one work of uniting us to Christ. The list of things at the end of the Apostles' Creed are all works that God the Father and God the Son do to us and for us through the Holy Spirit. This is why the early church father Augustine talked about the relationship between the Holy Spirit and the other two persons of the Trinity as givers and the gift. The Father and the Son are givers, and the Holy Spirit is the gift that is given to us to give us all the blessings of the gospel. The Holy Spirit is described as a gift in the book of Acts multiple times. Now we're going to look at these question and answers in this Lord's Day out of order and follow more closely the order that we have in 1 Corinthians 12. Now looking at our text in 1 Corinthians 12, if you would look there with me at verses 1 through 3, you read, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. And now notice verses 2 and 3. You know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now notice in those three verses, before Paul begins explaining spiritual giftedness and inclusion in the body of Christ, that we first have to be taken out of our idolatry. In other words, we had to be taken out of our sin and cleansed. We had to be taken off the wide path that leads to destruction and placed on the narrow path that leads to everlasting life. And notice how Paul puts it in verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles, meaning you were all apart from God, separated from Him by sin. And then Paul says, carried away by these dumb idols. Because of our sinful hearts, we, left to ourselves, were being carried away to idols that cannot even speak. That was our condition. All of us. That was our condition before God intervened in our life. And that's not a great condition to be in, is it? Like a person in the desert chasing a mirage, we were chasing after idols that cannot speak. Idols that we attribute promises to them, but which cannot make them themselves nor even make good on them. That's the amazing thing of the idol factory of our sinful heart. We think if only I had this, or only I could be here, then I would be happy. Maybe some of you are thinking, if only I moved to Kelowna, then I would be happy. Well, you will be happy here, I will give you that, but if we're putting a place in our minds, or a thing, or some person even, if only I was married, if only I was this or that, or if only I had more friends, then I would be happy. Then I would be satisfied. But brothers and sisters, all those are idols that cannot satisfy. All of these are idols that cannot speak. This is the condition of the world. Every person of the world is desperately doing this. The billionaire still needs more what? Money. The power-hungry person can never have enough of what? Power. And so it goes on and on and on. Idols will never satisfy. They are simply creations of imaginations of men's minds. And left in our state of sin, that was our plight. We were being pulled by our own sinful hearts to follow dumb idols. That is why, children, every time you hear the phrase, mostly in Disney movies, just follow your heart, your response should be absolutely not. I know where my sinful heart leads. I know where it is drawing me. I must follow Christ. And more than that, I must be led by Him away from my sinful self and to Him where I can find my true self in Him. To be led away from sin and to Him where is found all righteousness. And it must be God who works, and who works first, as we read in verse 3. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God, calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so you see clearly that God has called us out of ourselves, out of our sin, by the blood of Christ. As we looked at a couple weeks ago, the life that we live is no longer our own. As we read in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I know which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our life is hidden in Christ. The whole of the Christian life is in him. And because we are in Christ, and because Christ paid our debt and earned for us the right to eternal life, we are now taken as well, not only out of ourselves, but we're also taken out of the world, and we are placed in the body of Christ. And as living members of the body of Christ, we are also given gifts by the Holy Spirit to serve the body and to bless the body. We'll come back to that last point in a moment, but first I want us to consider the importance of what we see in question and answer 54. The statement in the Apostles' Creed, in question and answer 54, of the Holy Catholic Church. We confess that together, and sometimes we maybe cringe a little bit at that word Catholic, but that word, it's lowercase, as you can tell, means universal. The universal church. I am a member of the church throughout the world and throughout all ages. We are united with Christ's body from Adam and Eve to the very end of time. With every Christian, we are all part of the body of Christ. And as you read there in question and answer 54, I believe that the Son of God, through his Spirit and Word, out of the entire human race, from the beginning of the world to its end, gathers, protects, and preserves for himself a community chosen for eternal life and united in true faith. And of this community I am and always will be a living member. The Jesus and me mentality of our age has eroded the biblical teaching of the church and is actually contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Even looking at the order of things in this epistle to the Corinthians in chapter 5, Paul deals with the matters of the church as a whole first. And then he deals with the matters of the individual in the next chapter. And so you can see the emphasis of Paul is for us to see ourselves as living members of the body of Christ. So many cultures go to one extreme or the other. Here in the West, we're in this individualistic mindset. If you were to go to Asia, you would see more the community mindset. And here we are given the proper biblical framework of how we fit together. We are not islands left to ourselves on our own. We are taken out of ourselves and placed in Christ. We are taken out of the world and placed in the body of Christ. We are all given individual gifts, yes. But we are given those gifts in order to serve the rest of the body as a living member of that body. We also must acknowledge the truth that God is revealing to us in his word here in 1 Corinthians 12 that we are either members of the world or the church. You cannot be something else. You know, so often people will say there's two kinds of people in the world. Well, here it is. You're either of the world or in Christ. You're either in the world or you're in the church. Those are the only two kinds of people there are. As much as some may want there to be a third option, that is a dream that has no basis in reality. You are either a member of the world or of the church. And Christ, through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, has taken us out of the world and placed us in His body. And we see this teaching very clearly in the illustration of the head and the body in verses 12 through 27. And as members of Christ's church, we are all gifted to serve the body. Now, before we get into the gifts specifically, I want us to draw our attention to the last verse of the chapter, verse 31, where we read, "But earnestly desire the best gifts. And yet, I show you a more excellent way." What is Paul saying there? Well, what is chapter 13 all about? Love. So Paul's point here in verse 31 is that we are to use whatever gifts are given to us by the Holy Spirit with genuine love that is also given to us by the Holy Spirit. For as Paul goes on to say, you can have all manners of gifts, even some of the greatest ones, but if you don't have love, you are what? A noisy gong, a clashing cymbal, you are nothing. So as we think about the giftedness that God has given to us, we have to remember that the way that we use that gift is to be with love. And really with all the fruit of the Spirit, of which love is a summary. So now I want us to do something that we don't often do in Reformed churches, but it is good and necessary. We, I think, are so scared of being Pentecostals that we just avoid the question. But I want you to think about, what are your spiritual gifts? What are your spiritual gifts? Oftentimes when we hear that term, as I said, we maybe start thinking, uh-oh, that sounds Pentecostal. And of course, if we were to start going in the Pentecostal direction, that would be a very wrong way of looking at that question. For one thing, the Pentecostals emphasize giftedness over and above the fruit of the Spirit, which of course, as we just saw, is the opposite of the biblical emphasis. But also, Pentecostals largely limit spiritual gifts to things like speaking in tongues and healing. Now, it may also be that, and this is true, what we find in this passage, that your spiritual gift that is given to you by the Holy Spirit may seem more physical in nature than what we would maybe more traditionally think of as spiritual things. But there are a plethora of gifts that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. We see that in this chapter. We also know of it throughout the New Testament, because there's multiple lists of gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they're not all the same. Which tells you that there's a lot of them. In verses 8 through 10, we get a list of some of the gifts, and then in verses 28 and 29, we're given a different list. And so the point there is that there's a multitude of spiritual gifts, and some people possess different spiritual gifts. Some of them possess many, some possess few. Obviously, some of the gifts mentioned here have ceased to exist past the time of the apostles. We don't have time to examine that all right now, but there are gifts listed here that either do not exist at all or are greatly cut back in terms of their frequency, such as apostolic or prophetic gifts, gifts of healing, or gifts of speaking in tongues. But there's still a great deal of spiritual gifts that are given to the church in our day. Some possess spiritual gifts that we would consider lesser, and others possess gifts that we would consider greater. But we need to keep this in mind. In the Church of Christ, every member of the body is to be considered important and valued. Just as there's not one part of your body that you would say, well, I can get rid of that, I don't need it. So every part of the body and every gift that's given to every member has to be appreciated because we recognize that it's actually a gift from the Holy Spirit to that person, to us as they serve us, and to the entire body of Christ. For it is a God-given gift, given to bless us all. Now, I cannot give an exhaustive list of the spiritual gifts, but I'll give a summary, and of course there's always a danger in doing this, because you leave one out and someone says, well, is my gift not a spiritual gift? Well, it may or may not be, but I'm going to give you a list just to give us a bit of a lay of the land here of the spiritual gifts that are given to us in Scripture. Some are gifted at preaching, others teaching, others helping. Sometimes we don't think about that as a spiritual gift, but it's mentioned here. Helping as a spiritual gift. Administration and organization. Knowledge, and not just knowledge in all areas, but some people have particular knowledge of certain areas. Wisdom, discernment, exceptionally strong faith, encouragement, hospitality, friendship, thoughtfulness, gifts of aiding and helping others in worship, such as singing or instrumentation. Others are very gifted at visitation. You know who those people are. They're the people that can't stop talking. You all have been given a gift from the Holy Spirit to serve the church. What is yours? If you do not know the answer to that question, then you need to work at figuring it out. And ask for opportunities in different capacities to try and discover what gift you have. That may mean that you try something and you stink at it. And then you've figured out, well, that's not my gift, and I need to move on and try something else. I don't possess the gift of administration. You all are members of this church and know that about me. And so when Classis and all of its wisdom made me Classis clerk, that was a time in which it was made clear to me and to everyone else that a gift of administration is not my gift. It's okay to try something and figure out what gifts are yours and which ones are not. Also, seek out those in the church who are gifted with wisdom and discernment. And if you think you have a particular gift, ask them if they see that gift in you or what other gifts they see in you. Sometimes we are not very good judges of ourselves, and so sometimes we need to ask others for help in even getting to know ourselves and the giftedness that God has given to us. But it should be our desire to be useful and productive members of the body of Christ. Which means that we all need to be seeking to find out what our spiritual gifts are And as the body of Christ, also we need to be gracious and patient with one another as the members of the body seek to discover what their giftednesses are and grow in those giftednesses. Not everybody is amazing right away. Practice makes perfect. Well, obviously we're Calvinists, we don't believe perfect in this life, but you know what I mean. You're all very thankful that I have been ordained for quite a while now, and you didn't hear my very first sermons that I preached. Hopefully I've grown a little bit since then. And so we all need to have patience with one another. And also be such a loving community that when someone tries something, tries to discover a gift that they may or may not have, that even if it's abundantly clear they don't have it, that we still love them. This should be a place where we are able to try things and maybe it doesn't work out as well as we thought. Because the body of Christ is also described as what? A family. And that's what families do. They love each other, appreciate each other, and seek to encourage one another to develop their gifts and discover those gifts, even if it means there's going to be points of failure. So let us pray for ourselves and for each other, that we will all discover every single one of our gifts and have opportunities to use those gifts in the church and to grow in the giftedness that the Holy Spirit has given to us. You remember the parable of the talents. We do not want to be like the servant who was given one talent and went and buried it in the ground. Nor do we want to be a church where we are forcing members to do that. And so, brothers and sisters, let us pray for ourselves and for each member of this congregation. And for those who are visiting, pray for your own congregations or your members. That everyone would be able to use the gifts given to them by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God's name and for the blessing of His people. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with thankfulness, knowing that you not only have saved us from ourselves, saved us from our sin, washed us completely clean by the blood of Christ, so that we stand faultless before your throne. But even here and now, you continue to sanctify us by your word and the power of the Holy Spirit, and have even loved us so much that you have given us gifts. We have nothing, but you have given us gifts in order to serve you and to serve the body of Christ. Oh Lord, whatever our giftedness is, may we see it as a great honor given to you, given to us by you, our God, to serve you in such a way. Help us, O Lord, in that. Help us, O Lord, as the body of Christ, not to see only some kinds of giftednesses as useful in your church, but to see the whole plethora of giftedness that is given in the body of Christ to build up the body and serve one another. And oh Lord, we pray that you would give opportunities to each person to use those gifts in service to others. And may you give the elders and the deacons wisdom to utilize all of the people in this congregation, that they would be a blessing to the body, and that we would shine brightly in this dark world to the glory of your name. Oh Lord, we pray for those who are struggling to know what their spiritual gifts are. We ask, O Lord, that you would make it clear and known to them in their lives of in which ways you have gifted them to serve your church. And, O Lord, even if it is, in the world's eyes, a small gift, may we all see the giftednesses that you've given to each member as valuable, because these are gifts from you to serve the body in just the right way. For you, O Lord, are the God of all grace, and the God who gives the perfect grace at the perfect time. So we pray, O Lord, that you would bless us all with a greater understanding of our giftedness, and may we use it all to the praise of your name and the blessing of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.